good to see you all here. I'm moving to call to order the meeting of the special meeting of the Board of Supervisors, Tuesday, February 4th, 2020, for the purpose of hearing a presentation by the finalists for the county attorney vacancy. First order of business would be the adoption of the agenda.
So move. Second.
Olson?
Aye.
Hedden?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Agenda is adopted. Next, we'll have a presentation by our finalists, but first let me make just a couple comments for any, I don't know if there's any members of the audience here who are not attorneys or don't work with attorneys. Okay, there are a couple. Let me explain just briefly what we're doing here, okay? Our county attorney, as I think most of you know, Jessica Reynolds, has resigned from the position. Her resignation was dated 12/21/2019, effective February 7th, 2020 at noon. On January 2nd, this Board of Supervisors decided to fill the vacancy by appointment, which is allowed by Code Section 69.14A. And on the 7th of January, we approved a process for doing so. One of the steps of this process was a public presentation by our applicant, and we do have one applicant, Timothy Meals, and he is scheduled to present tonight. So what we will do is we'll have a presentation by Tim, followed by questions by the board, and then any public comments. And I see there's several people who wish to comment. We're going to ask you to limit your comments to 2 minutes each in the interest of time. Is there anything else from the other board members before we have our presentation?
No.
Okay. Tim.
First, I'd like to thank the board for inviting me to present on my application to become Story County Attorney. I'll tell you a little bit about myself. I'm a lifelong Iowan. I was born and raised in Iowa. I've been a Story County resident for the past 45 years. When I graduated from high school, I didn't go directly into college. I entered the workforce, and I worked at a factory in Ames called Bourne's Incorporated for 11 years. They manufactured potentiometers. My mom worked there and my sister worked there. And when I started there, there was about 1,000 people that worked there. And after 11 years, the plant closed down because they transferred the work to the other plants and overseas. So the next job I had was as a hotel maintenance man at the Gateway Center. I was there for 2 years, and while I was there, I started school. I went to Iowa State University and graduated with a degree in sociology and applied to Drake Law School. And my goal was to be an assistant county attorney in Story County. I wanted to stay here and I wanted to be a prosecutor in our community. My first job after law school was at Marshall County Attorney's Office. I was a drug prosecutor there. I handled the drug cases and a general indictable caseload. And I wasn't there very long when an opening came in Story County. And I started in Story County in 2000. I started with a general felony and indictable misdemeanor caseload. I've kind of maintained that caseload over the years. I became lead criminal prosecutor in 2017 and promoted to first assistant in 2018. Over my 20 years experience, I've successfully prosecuted hundreds of cases, and that's outside of the jury trials that I've done. I prosecuted everything from murder in the first degree to vehicular homicides, financial crimes, sexual assault, theft, assault, traffic offenses, and alcohol and drug crimes. I've tried over 50 jury trials to completion, including murder, domestic abuse, adult and child sex abuse, child abuse cases, robbery cases, and quite a few OWIs. I've been recognized for my work. I received a special award for traffic safety from the Commission of Public Safety and the Iowa Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau Commissioner. That was for my work in prosecuting OWIs and traffic offenses and defending successfully a lot of motions to suppress in OWI cases. I also received the Iowa County Attorneys Association Staff Attorney Award of Merit. My time, I have established relationships. I've been a mentor to many attorneys and staff within the county attorney's office. I've had the pleasure of second chairing a lot of new county attorneys on their first jury trial, and it's something I really enjoy doing. I've been a liaison to local law enforcement agencies and presented at their trainings. And I am a trusted and respected member of the local legal community. In the future, I want to continue our office's community outreach programs. I want to increase law enforcement trainings, support the drug abuse task forces, and the Violence Against Women grant. We also recently received a large grant for the opioid epidemic, for pre-arrest, post-arrest diversion, people that are struggling with drug addiction. And I also want to explore mental health and drug specialty courts. You probably know the Supreme Court had a moratorium on specialty courts up until recently, and it was just recently lifted. And I also want to continue to recruit, train, and retain qualified attorneys and staff. I think that's really important because you get quality people working for you. You get quality output. And after all, it does take a team. No one can do this job by themselves. You have to recognize that. You hire the best people that you can, and you get good outcomes. So that's my presentation. Thank you. And I can answer any questions you might have.
Thank you very much. Supervisor Heddens, why don't I start with you? Do you have questions?
I do have a couple questions. My first one's a longer question. Thanks for being here tonight, Tim, and for your presentation and for your interest in becoming a Story County attorney. So my question is surrounding your overall personnel management style, and you kind of referenced it a little bit in your presentation. So what I'm kind of wondering about is what type of mentoring and training do you provide to new attorneys, or would you provide to new attorneys? What is your process for getting some formal feedback or for giving formal feedback? And is there a difference just in your overall personnel management style on your feedback to new attorneys compared to a staff that you've had that you've worked with for several years?
Well, I believe in the coaching style of management where you give the tasks out and the tools to complete the tasks and then solve any problems right away. I expect people to carry out their duties. With new attorneys, we pair them up with an established attorney in the office to mentor them, and that way they have the opportunity to learn from somebody who's been in the office for quite a while. And then we get feedback when they go into trial. I go down and talk to the judges and see how they're doing, and I come by and ask them, you know, if they have any questions, any difficulties. And I think that helps with the team style management that we have in our office.
Great. Thank you.
Have another question?
I do, but if you want to go to anyone else first.
Okay, I just have one. Okay. So you'll be advising the board of supervisors on a variety of civil related issues. I know that Ethan is our primary advisor, but the prior attorney was called in and Steve was called in, et cetera, on various issues. So my question is, some attorneys only provide their clients background and legal citations that support the attorney's opinion or recommendation. Others provide their clients with background and legal citations that present both supportive and contrary perspectives to you, to your advice. Which do you think you will do and why?
I think the best way to handle that is to give the legal advice after researching it thoroughly and give the supporting law for it.
What would you do if you found Iowa Supreme Court decisions that were in contrary to what you may be saying? Would you let the board know about that?
Well, I think that would be part of my decision making and what legal advice to give the board. Obviously, researching all of the case law, the supporting and contrary case law, and then coming up with the best answer to give the board.
And just to follow up then, do you see yourself as being an advisor or having a more of an authoritative role about the expectation that the board would follow your advice?
I think the county attorney gives the board advice, and the board is free to follow the advice or not follow the advice. I mean, the attorney gives a legal opinion about a particular question after doing the research, gives the board their opinion on the advice, and the board can follow that or not.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. I'll ask the next question. I noticed on your application that you you stated that approximately 90% of your work had been done in criminal prosecution. And from your presentation and what you put in your application, I believe you're a very strong prosecutor, very accomplished prosecutor. I'd like to ask a little bit about philosophy. And as people know who've worked in the criminal justice system, when you talk about the discretion that exists in the criminal justice system, the vast majority of the discretion is really at the prosecutorial level. I've known county attorneys who thought you always charged the highest possible classification of offense that you could, and you always went for the most severe punishment that offense would allow. But the discretion that the prosecutor has there is very wide, and I'd like to know how you make your decisions in terms of charging, in terms of recommendations for punishments or rehabilitation or sanctions or whatever. What kind of process do you go through when looking at a criminal case and a criminal defendant?
Well, as you know, all the crimes that are charged in Story County are charged by law enforcement. And so we get a complaint affidavit and somebody's been arrested. From there, it's a process where we gather information. We get the police reports. We look at the defendant's criminal history. We look at the surrounding circumstances. Certainly, it matters whether or not it was a violent crime and what kind of effect that has had on the community, or whether it's a property crime. We don't always charge. I don't always charge the highest charge possible. Certainly, you have to look at the facts and circumstances of the case to determine what is appropriate to charge. And there's so many different variations, but not charging the highest crime you can charge sometimes is the smart way to go, because sometimes people don't have a lengthy criminal history. Charging just to be able to plead something down isn't always the appropriate thing to do, or charging all of the charges you can charge just so that you can use it for leverage to dismiss 14 charges when you're looking for a plea bargain for one, especially with people that don't have lengthy criminal histories. But certainly people that are repeat offenders who commit violent crimes against people, yes, then we do look at charging the highest charge we can charge and protecting the community the best we can from further offenses from them. It's a balance between rehabilitation and protecting the community. And certainly you can protect the community by focusing on the rehabilitation aspect.
Okay, thank you. Supervisor Hedden?
One last question, at least that I have. You did kind of answer this in your questionnaire that you provided us, but you also referenced it in your presentation. So I'm going to go back to the role of the county attorney in regards to mental health and substance abuse courts. So if you could talk a little bit about the county attorney's role, and I know that you, the county attorney's office recently received that grant that can address kind of opioid and other substance abuse. Do you have kind of a vision what you'd like to potentially see in maybe a mental health court, since you brought that up in your presentation as well?
Well, we already do kind of do a diversion on certain cases, on mental health cases, because it's not always appropriate to prosecute somebody when their behavior is caused by a chronic mental health condition. I can think of one case that I handled a number of years ago with somebody that was in our community, was receiving services from the county, had fairly severe mental health issues, and she had been arrested for burglary and forgery and other crimes. And simply prosecuting her and putting her on probation probably wasn't the right thing to do for her. And so I made an agreement with her attorney that if she continued with services that she was receiving, we would hold that case open for a period of time to make sure she was complying with her treatment requirements through her service providers, and then eventually, after a period of time, dismissing the case. And I think that's one example of how a mental health court can work with the court and the county attorney's office overseeing and helping to provide services to people so they don't continue to come into contact with law enforcement and commit offenses.
Thank you.
Okay. What factors would you take into account when requesting and justifying additional resources for your office? How would you decide when those additional personnel or other resources were necessary? What kind of comparisons might you do with other counties or other county attorney's offices?
Well, I think internally you have to look at your numbers, what you've been operating on and what the numbers have been, if they increase and what they brought up to, and certainly talking to your staff to determine, you know, how much time are they having to put into each case and are they able to accomplish what they need to accomplish. And I know this came up recently, and making a comparison to the numbers in the other counties, you have to be careful because the inputs aren't always the same. Some counties don't report the same way that Story County reports, and some counties don't aren't as diligent as the clerk of court in Story County, for lack of a better term, in reporting those numbers. And so that's one thing that you can look at, but I think you need to look at the overall picture of what the numbers have been in Story County and what they have increased to, and talking to the attorneys about how their caseloads are going.
Do you have any efficiency measures that you might be able to put into place to deal with the increased caseloads, or do you feel like you've already gotten most of the good out of that you can?
Well,
would you reorganize, restructure in any way? Or are you not thinking about that?
Well, I haven't really thought about it, to be honest.
Okay. That's fair. Okay. Anything else? Okay. We now are ready for public comment. And first, I have and again, everybody, if you could keep to 2 minutes, we would appreciate that. First card is Tiffany Meredith. We'll use that one. Good evening.
Good evening, supervisors. Most of you guys have seen me before or gotten a chance to hear from me, but I wanted to come on behalf of Tim Heels tonight. Tim is the worst about taking compliments. He will turn bright red when I compliment him every single day. But I can tell you that in my 11 years of being in my office, there hasn't been a day where I haven't wanted to compliment him or go talk to him. Tim was there when I was an intern. He was one of the first people who taught me how to be an attorney. He stood by me in a trial where a defense attorney was getting up in his face and yelling at him and screaming at him. And the only thing he said to me was, "We have to do our job." And he stood by me during that trial and made sure that I was protected. And he was there with me when I got the not guilty verdict, because unfortunately that happens a lot for us when we go to trial. We can't guarantee that we're going to have outcomes, we're going to have wins. Tim stood by me and said that it's not about wins and losses. You held a person accountable for drunk driving. It was their third offense. They needed to be held accountable. They knew how to get away with the test. Tim was there with me when we tried an attempted murder case. He stood next to me when our victim was on the stand saying some crazy things. We never knew if we were going to get a guilty verdict in that case, and we didn't on attempted murder, but we did on robbery first. Tim was there when the judge issued some rulings that were contrary to the law. He helped me find workarounds. He helped me learn how to have grace under fire. Tim was the person who was there encouraging me every single day. In our office, we always talk about how we're a tight-knit family, and as you can see from the audience, we all support each other. But Tim, he's one of our biggest cheerleaders. He is there for us. If we're staying late at night, he checks in with us before we leave. There have been times where he won't leave the office because he knows I'm staying late and he wants to make sure that I am just physically safe. because unfortunately Tim was assaulted doing his job a few years ago. He knows to be there to protect us. He'll check in with me to make sure that I'm not overloaded, to make sure that I take my vacation days. Tim has been there to teach me about case law that I didn't realize was there, and never once did he demean me for not knowing it. He just encouraged me. We kind of tease him. If you go in his office, there's some boxes sitting in there. They've been there for years and years, but it's his case file. He can pull out case law at the drop of a hat. He can remember almost anything. And he has a phenomenal relationship with our judges. He goes down and checks with them. How can we make our system more efficient? How can we better prosecute cases? How can the attorneys do better? And he comes back and he has conversations with us, always encouraging us. There's also the part of Tim that not a lot of people know, that he has changed the legal landscape multiple times in the state of Iowa. In his application, he talked about State versus Tinelli, a case where he was ruled against. If you actually follow the path of that case, the Iowa Supreme Court unanimously overturned the judge and ruled with Tim. That's a case that talks about co-conspirator statements coming in, and thanks to Tim and his desire to ensure that our public was safe and doing everything he could, he's now made it so that prosecutors in the state of Iowa can't get any co-conspirator statements that we weren't able to before. He fought that out. And in 2004, before that, he was protecting a woman in a domestic violence situation. She was in a car, and her boyfriend came up and broke out a window and drug her out and hurt her. And it got to trial, and there was a disagreement over what the relationship looked like. Tim fought to get in two other incidents between those individuals to show what the defendant's true intent was. Tim won, and that changed the landscape for domestic violence prosecutors across the state of Iowa. Tim is so much more than what he stands up here and tells you. He is probably one of the most humble people you will ever meet. If you actually go look, and I tried to find some pictures of him in the newspapers showing him being in the spotlight, you won't find them. Actually, if you look at every single picture in there, he's leaning back. He's letting other prosecutors take credit. He wants them to have the spotlight. And that's exactly who we want here for Story County as our county attorney. Somebody who's going to teach us how to be better, how to do more for our community, and to ensure the safety of everybody. Not here for the spotlight, not here for the glory. Here to do the job, to find the truth, and to do justice. Thank you.
Thank you, Tiffany. And now, Kristen Formanek. And please do try to keep your comments to 2 minutes.
Good evening, supervisors. I'm Kristen Formanek. I've been a prosecutor now in Story County for a little over almost 5 years, so 4.5 years, and I've had the pleasure of working with Tim. Tim is not only a great leader, but he really, really cares about his community. And as you can see from his presentation, it's been his community for a very long time. I think that when you're looking at who the best person is for the job of county attorney, you're looking for someone who is exactly those two things. You need a good leader, and you need someone who cares about the community. Because the county attorney is basically the public face, the face that people look to when people break the law and when harm comes to our community. And that's the side of the county attorney's office that most of the community knows. And the rest of us know that the county attorney's job involves a lot more than that. It involves representing the county and doing civil things for the county as well. But the public sees the criminal side of things. One thing that I think is important to know about Tim that you can glean a little bit of it from his presentation, he has the street cred to be the county attorney. He has done other things in his life. A lot of us have been lawyers for a number of years. Tim worked in a factory, and that really holds a lot of weight with members of our community. I have been in meetings before with people where they really didn't necessarily think that they should take me seriously, even though I've been doing this for a number of years. But I haven't been doing it for as long as Tim, and I don't have the life experience that Tim has. And the minute that Tim said, you know, I've worked in a factory too, I know what that's like, it was a complete change of the atmosphere in the room. And I think that it's really important to have a person who has all of these different experiences as well that he can bring to the table. But Tim has a great head on his shoulders. when you're talking about discretion, Tim has, I think, some of the most admirable discretion I've ever seen. He knows when we should push it and when we need to take it to trial, and he knows when that may not be the right thing to do and the right thing is to resolve it another way. And our job as the county attorney's office is to always do the right thing, to try to do the right thing, to try to seek the truth. It's not always to slam the door on people and put them in prison for the rest of their lives. That's not always the right thing to do. We're not here to do that. We're here to do the right thing. Tim knows exactly what the right thing is, and he is maybe the only finalist for the county attorney, but that's not why you should pick him. You should pick him because he is the best person for this job. Thanks.
Thank you, Kristen. And Sean Fletcher?
Good evening, Supervisors. Thank you for giving us this opportunity to speak to you on behalf of Tim. I will keep my remarks short because the prior two did speak a little bit long. So I sent each of you a letter, and I'm not going to read that letter tonight out loud because I'm not sure you've had the opportunity to do that. I do want to focus on one thing that I did set forth in the letter, and some of them have talked about a little bit already. We know Tim's the right person for the job. There's no doubt about that. But I want to assure you, having known Tim as long as I have, I've been there for about 6 years, and I've gotten to know him very well, that Tim has the temperament to do the job, not just the skills and the knowledge and the street cred, all those things, but he has the temperament to be a good county attorney. He's done so. He will continue to do so. You can tell from Tim, if you've known him and you've seen him through this process, Jessica Leben was not in his plan. He didn't want that. He started his career wanting to be an assistant prosecutor so that he could do what's right and follow the motto that our office follows, which is to do justice, to follow the law, and always do the right thing. Nobody exemplifies that more than Tim. And his humility in seeking this position is known by those of us who know him well. And so I want to, again, reiterate that with you folks and ask you to appoint Tim.
Thank you, Sean. And now we have Luke Richardson.
Good evening. In case you don't know me, I'm Luke. I was brought into the county in 2017. Prior to that, I was in private practice in Story County. I live here and have lived here since about 2006. So I have a little unique perspective on Tim because I handled many cases against him. I've always found him to be a guy with the highest of integrity. That's really kind of how I viewed him. He's always honest, extremely hardworking, has vast knowledge of the legal issues, and he's fair. He has, I think, part of Tim's experience and his life experiences gives him a different perspective as a prosecutor, which I think is important. And I think he brings that to the cases that he handles, and that trickles down to the others in the office as well. So I think he brings a lot to the position. I certainly, being a resident of Story County, I cannot think of anybody that I would feel would be more qualified for this position than Tim. So I have absolutely no doubt that he will live up to what we expect the county attorney to be here.
Yes. Thank you. Is there anybody else? I have no more cards, but just checking. Okay. Then we have a meeting scheduled for this Friday at 1 o'clock to consider making a decision on the appointment of the county attorney. You're all invited to be there if you want to. It's a public meeting. And with that, I will entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Second.
Heddens?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. We're adjourned. Thank you, everybody, for coming tonight.
Thank you.